In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we commemorate and celebrate a great event. We remember and thank God for the vessel, the ark, that would carry him for 9 months as he came to live and walk among us. We recall with great joy the birth of our Blessed Mother, Mary. Like so many great figures in salvation history, such as Isaac, Samuel, John the Baptist, Mary was born of a mother who was considered barren. Despite being God-fearing and generous, Mary's parents, Joachim and Anne, they were elderly and not blessed with children. After having their offering rejected by the temple authorities as childless couples were considered displeasing to God, they both fled, Anne to their home in Nazareth and Joachim to the desert. And during this time, they were both separately given God's message that they would have a child, and upon hearing this, Anne promised to consecrate that child to the Almighty. As we have seen multiple times in Scripture, when God graces an elderly, barren couple with a child, that child is destined for greatness. But I doubt that Joachim and Anne could have guessed that their daughter would be the greatest, most perfect, and holiest woman ever created. For God had a master plan, a plan to repair the chasm between God and humanity that had formed since the fall of Adam and Eve. And that plan called for his son to be born of a woman and to give himself freely unto death for the sake of all humankind. And that woman, to be the vessel to carry God himself, must be pure and holy in every way. Thus, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary was from the first moment of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege of the Almighty God, and by virtue of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race, preserved immune from all stain of original sin. So reads the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, held from the earliest days of the Church and finally promulgated by Pope Pius IX in 1854. So it's important to know that when God calls on one of his creations to accomplish part of his master plan, he always gives them the gifts to carry out that role. In fact, the Catechism tells us in section 490, to become the mother of the Savior, Mary was enriched by God with gifts appropriate to such a role. The angel Gabriel at the moment of the Annunciation salutes her as full of grace. In order for Mary to be able to give her the free assent to her faith, to the announcement of her vocation, it was necessary that she be wholly born by God's grace. It further tells us in 493, the fathers in the Eastern tradition call the Mother of God all holy and celebrate her as free from any stain of sin, as though fashioned by the Holy Spirit and formed as a new creation. By the grace of God, Mary remained free from every personal sin her whole life long. In other words, for Mary to be full of grace, as the angel Gabriel announced, she would have to have been sinless from the moment of her conception until the moment of her annunciation. And this state of perfect commitment to God's will and plan for her continued until she was taken body and soul to be with God for all eternity. My friends, the story of salvation in Mary, our mother's role in it, is part of a magnificent master plan that God fashioned and had fashioned since before the beginning of time. What so many of us don't realize is that we, you and I, are included in that plan. In fact, there's a paragraph or two written in that plan that has each of your names on it. Whether you know it or not, God made you with a purpose, that purpose in mind. And our job, our calling during our time here on this earth, is to search out that purpose and to work to accomplish it. So spend some time today and look back on your life. How have you come to be where you are today? How have you come to be the person that you are today? Are there events, turning points, opportunities taken or refused that led you to today? Many would say that this is all by chance, but I assure you, at least some, if not all of it, has the mark of the divine hand upon it. God created each of us for sainthood, but while he died so we might realize this goal, and the offer stands to any and all who would accept it, Our acceptance is dependent on our living out our part of God's plan, living out his will for us. So what might that plan for us look like? For one, it certainly calls us to love those close to us, spouses, sons, daughters, grandchildren. If this seems too easy, the plan also calls for us to love our neighbors, friends, and coworkers. We must also love those we don't know, those who are our brothers and sisters in the faith through baptism. But my friends, don't stop there, for the plan calls us to send our love, the love that Christ gave us, to those who don't know him, those who are lost and in need of a guide to gain the narrow way. For my friends, we are called, those of us so blessed to know the Lord, so blessed to partake in his body and blood, we are called to be Christ's hands, his feet, his mouth, here in this lifetime, to gather to him all that he has created. For that is what one who loves does. For when we stand before God and he looks upon us, will he smile and say, "Welcome, your friends. These you brought to me are here waiting for you." Or will he look around at an empty room and say, "Where are the rest, those I sent you to get and bring home?" So as you approach the altar today to receive our Lord, ask him to open your eyes that you may see those who need your guidance, and then promise him that you'll be there for them, that you'll be a faithful servant accomplishing your role in God's master plan. May God bless you.